Brother Ronald assures me that calling in for a backup has nothing to do with excessive watching of the NCAA basketball tournament. He's assured me of that, okay. I'll take that as his face value. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. Paul is encouraging Timothy, the young preacher. There are two letters written to Timothy, one to Titus, another preacher. Most of Paul's letters were written to churches as a group, but here are a couple to individuals, and here one particular to Timothy. And Timothy seems to be a little bit discouraged, I don't know, just a little bit down perhaps. And Paul may have gotten word. Paul's in prison. He's trying to encourage Timothy as he sits in prison. And so the first six or so verses are talking about the background of Paul and his love for Timothy, and is a prelude to the encouraging that follows. Now, there are two ways to preach. One is subject preaching. You grab a word and go with it. Go through the Bible, do a concordance search, and relate about everything you can find in reasonable time that you can work in for the length of time that you have to that one subject. Or they simply verse by verse and word by word expository preaching. And I can't tend to like that. And some of us say, well, it's a lot of different subjects in this verse. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one that put them in there. And so far be it from me to argue about the order and of subjects here. And so that's the kind of way I like to do things. I like to handle this scriptures that way this afternoon, and just kind of look at the whole flow of scriptures and see what we might gain from this. Begin in verse 7 of 2 Timothy, the first chapter. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, though of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light, through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher unto the Gentiles. For the cause which I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed to be, for I know that whom I believe, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I've heard that last part before in him, I believe. Paul begins and talks about how we are not given a spirit of fear. You know, seem like that's part of our life now. We're driven by fear, and Satan would like for us to be overwhelmed by fear. Fear of the future, fear of what might happen, and most things we fear never happen. But it does tend to bog us down. Sometimes we spend time thinking about what could happen, and analyzing the pluses and minuses. Brother Brian Cook and I once had a discussion like this. There's a term called paralysis by analysis. Sometimes you sit down figuring all the things that could happen this way and that way, and you're analyzing it, and you don't do anything. You just sit there, you're just kind of locked in place. You're just like the computer's locked up and it won't move because you're trying to figure out everything that could happen. And yet most of the bad things are not going to happen. And so you might as well just go on and be moving forward. But have a power and a sound mind. Fear doesn't come from God. Fear doesn't come from the service of God. Fear comes from Satan. Satan is one who imparts fear into us. But God has given us this spirit of power and a sound mind to work our way through these things and to logically consider some things. It says, if God said to do it, it's okay. We don't need to worry about consequences. Just charge ahead. I think about the Israelites there at the Red Sea. Wall standing back. God says, go ahead. And he said, whoa, whoa. Brother, that thing could fall at any time. I don't know if I'm going to get in there or not. We might get halfway through, and all of a sudden that wall might come tumbling down. Now, God said, go ahead. Dry shod. The muddy bottom of this thing is not wet anymore. It's dry. Just go ahead. And sometimes we can get locked into this spirit of fear. So you might say the first subject that Paul deals with here, if you're going to analyze these subjects, would be fear. Let it go. Don't worry about fear. Move ahead. Depend upon this spirit of power and a sound mind that God has given you. And then the next subject that pops up is being ashamed. He says, for be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There are two things he says. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, and don't be ashamed of me, the preacher and the purveyor of this gospel. Have you ever thought about the word ashamed? Ashamed just means to exhibit the attributes of shame. In other words, it means that you are bearing shame. You are demonstrating that you have shame. Dictionary definition of shame is a painful feeling, a consciousness of something dishonorable, improper, ridiculous, done by someone. Shame hurts. Shame is painful. Shame is something that we bring on ourselves by seeing something we have done in our background, something that hurts somebody else, something that was illegal, immoral, unjust, fattening, something that we say we wish we hadn't done it, and it kind of eats away at us. It's a painful thing. Or also somebody in our around us, somebody in our family, somebody in our church, or somebody who is very close to us that's done something like this. We look back, and it hurts us to think that they've done this, and it causes shame, and we are ashamed of them, which is the act of exhibiting shame. Paul says we've got a lot of things to be ashamed of in our life. And I think that's one shortage we have in this world right now. There's not enough shame. Nobody's ashamed of anything. Do what you want to. Say what you want to. Just go, just rock along and just hurt people's feelings. Do immoral things, unjust things, all kind of things, and nobody's ashamed of it. TVs, shows, books, literature, movies, there's no shame. Nobody regrets what they have done. We need to be ashamed of a lot of things, but not ashamed of the gospel. Have you ever been ashamed of the gospel? Have you ever heard people belittling things of the Lord? And all of a sudden you find yourself chicken, afraid to speak up. And maybe you hate to be in the minority of those who are engaged in this thing. And all of a sudden you say, I don't speak up and say, I don't agree with you. Not argue with them, but say, I don't agree. Don't count me on your side. Don't count me as one of those that sit in the seat of the scornful. I'm not one of you. Raise your hand up. Say, no, that's not me. And then if they want to ask you questions, the Bible says, get ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you. But not being ashamed of the gospel. Paul says, Timothy, there may come a time now, and the consequences of the difficulties you may get into, and the things you may be faced with, like I am faced with, and things that I am having to suffer from time to time, you may be faced with that. And the way to get out of it is to be ashamed. Peter says, I don't know the man. Three times, you're one of his. Peter says, I don't know the man. And last time he began to curse, just to prove, hey, I'm not one of his. You may say I sound like a Galilean, but no, I'm not one of his. I'll curse. I'll prove it to you. He was to the max ashamed of his Lord. He wept bitterly about that. You say, well, young preacher Timothy shouldn't feel ashamed. Why should Paul have to say anything about this? Apparently, it was needful. Don't be ashamed or me, his preacher, the one who's sharing the gospel. It's hard not to be ashamed when somebody perhaps is in prison, experiencing, been beaten, been looked down. How is this happening to Paul, the one the Lord talked to, the one experienced all this direct communication with the Lord? How is all these bad things happening to him? And we may want to be ashamed of being around somebody like that. He must be like they said about Job. What have you done, Job? You have thoroughly messed up. The Lord is punishing you for this. Nah, wasn't being punished. And yet they're looking at perhaps Paul because of things that are happening and say, well, I don't want to be associated with him. I want to be like the TV preacher. I want to have the fine silk suit and drive the Cadillac and have all the big TV program. That's what I want to have if I'm going to be a preacher. I don't want to be like Paul and suffer some things. I'll be ashamed of Paul, but I want to be like somebody else. That's human nature. And Paul said to Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Job one, don't be ashamed of the gospel. And second job, don't be ashamed of me. And you may have that feeling from time to time, even though I met you in Lystra, God blessed you with seeing the things that I spoke of and believing these things. You have been with me. We have traveled. We have been on the road and we have worked together. And now I'm in prison and you're by yourself and you may be getting the muddy grubs here. You may be getting downcast. But don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Hang in there through what you have been called to do. Nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We don't like to think about being a partaker of the sufferings of Paul, but that will happen from time to time. And off in the future, it could get even worse and worse. If society continues to go like it is, we may be suffering. If we come together from time to time and preach the gospel, and particularly moral issues that we think are so important, we may be punished for this. We may be ostracized. We may be penalized because of this. The future could come. But the alternative then is to be ashamed of the gospel and turn our back on the Lord. And Paul says to Timothy, don't do that. He says to the Lord's church today, it applies just as much to us as it did to them. But be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. There are a lot of things we can be ashamed of. One of my favorite movies is Hoosiers. I've watched that thing probably a bunch of times. I don't know how many times I've watched Hoosiers. But Gene Hackman plays the basketball coach that comes into the small town. True story. And one of the basketball players has got a father who's an alcoholic father. And Dennis Hopper plays the alcoholic father. And you can tell that the boy is ashamed of his father, the way he behaves. He loves his father. He shows him fatherly and son respect for his father. But his father is such that he has to overlook a lot of stuff that he does. And, of course, in the end of the movie, Hackman, the coach, gives him some responsibility. And he comes out of that. We sometimes can look at those around us that are not just like us, even in the church, and say, well, they're not as rich as we are. They don't dress like we do. And if I'm with them in public, I don't know that I really want to be around them. But see, they are brothers and sisters in Christ. They're ones the Lord died for, gave his life for. And therefore, we are joint heirs with them. We are suffering with them. And we should never, ever look down on any of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be heart full of joy to be around them, even though they may not be exactly like us. find the Lord told Timothy, don't be ashamed of me, even though I'm in prison. Don't be ashamed of those around you. Onesimus was a slave. And Philemon was told to take him back. Take him back. You two guys, even though you have an owner-slave relationship, you are brothers in Christ. I think that's one of the messages of the gospel. The Lord loved his people, and we're to love the Lord's people. Be thou not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And then he goes on here and to kind of change the subjects here. Now, we talked about being ashamed. We talked about fear. And now he's going to move into the good news of what the Lord has done for us. And just to keep Timothy on target here and in line, he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, according not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ before the world began. There are two meanings of saved in the scripture. One eternal, one timely. The disciple says, Lord, save us, we're drowning. That meant right now. Here I think is eternally. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, according to his purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ. That encouraged Timothy to say, okay, here's how it came about. I didn't give it to you. It wasn't based upon your works. It was not based upon what you did, Timothy. It's based upon God's specific, all-abounding, everlasting, perfect love for you as an individual, Timothy. Not because of what you did. And that was given to you not sometime recently, but it's before the world began. It shows up all through the scriptures. The person who thinks they have affected the work of grace in somebody else's heart could never take credit because it happened when? Before the world began, before that person came on the scene, according to his own purpose, and not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which gives in Christ Jesus before the world began. Timothy, don't have any concerns. God is in charge. When you go and preach, when you go and share the gospel, there are going to be those that are going to respond. Not necessarily because of your eloquence, not necessarily because of your good looks as a young man, not necessarily because of anything about you, but because of the mercy and grace of God. Paul was told in the city of Corinth, he says, though he was there that night before he began to preach, and the Lord came to him and spoke in a dream. He says, don't hold back. Don't be reticent about this thing. Go and preach because I have much people in this city. When you're told that ahead of time, you know there's going to be some success. Whether anybody comes and joins your church based upon your preaching or whatever, there are going to be some that are going to be touched by it because he had much people in that city. Not a small number, much people in that city. And when he shared the good news about a Savior who came and successfully saved his people, there are many there whose heart was touched by the Lord. And they rejoiced in this. Whether they came and raised their hand or did anything, it was good news to them. It fed their soul. It made them such they could go and to live their life in a much better way, knowing that it's one who loved them. And it's not based upon how good they were, but it's based upon how good the Lord was, that he came and did everything perfectly. Not according to our works. There are two ways to look at eternal life, based upon works or based upon grace. Many try to intermingle those, but it's one or the other. Based upon works could be speaking in tongues. Some say you got to do that. Works being baptized. Works actually believing, exercising belief, conjuring up belief within yourself. That could be in the area of works. But grace is simply grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. And Paul very clearly wants Timothy to understand This is what it's all about. Don't be ashamed of me, the gospel, because it's given to us before the world began. Not based upon your works, our works, my works, anybody's works, but based upon the grace of God. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has brought death, who has brought abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Many people want us to make the distinction between light and life. The gospel brings light. Christ brought life. Life is eternal life. Life is the work of the Holy Spirit. Life is to be born again. Life is spiritual life. And that is brought by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gospel tells us about it. It gives light to life. It lights it up. So now, here's what happened. Here's what it's all about. And the Lord shared this through Paul's preaching with Timothy to understand this, to show light upon it. And said, now, Timothy, you go out and show light to other people. You light up their life. You light up the things about them and tell them what's been done for them. There are many things we might try to understand and to see. But understanding what has been done for us is the most important thing we might ever learn. That in itself will open up our life, eliminate the spirit of fear Satan gives us, but give us this mind of power and a sound mind, and might open that up for us just to understand this good news about Jesus Christ. And definitely will eliminate all of the being ashamed of the things of the church. Some churches have got fancy entertainment. Some churches have got coffee shops. You bring your coffee into church. Come as you are, wear your flip-flops. Make it all user friendly. Whatever it takes to get people in. We don't have that. We've got the gospel. We've got the good news that brings life and immortality to light through the preaching of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's all we got. Just to tell you about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was successful. He came here, paid a price we couldn't pay, went to a place we couldn't pay, and because he lives, we shall live all eternity. And this is just a time that we're going through right now. It's a brief period. James said it is a vapor, here for a little while and then gone. That gives us hope. Paul told Titus, in hope of eternal life, of God who cannot lie, promised before the foundation of the world. We have this hope of eternal life. And Paul says, Timothy, don't you get down. Don't you get down in the discouraged. Don't you worry about this. Even though I'm in prison, you might tend to be ashamed of me and ashamed of what happened to those who are preaching the gospel. Put it away. You concentrate on the positive side of a successful Jesus Christ. He's now who has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the best news you could ever hear. And Paul is telling Timothy now, don't you worry about that. You are, as it were, a newsboy. You're carrying the news out. And you're blessed of those who are in your audience. Some are going to be fertile ground prepared to hear and receive and rejoice in the gospel. So you go and do the job that you have been called to do. And don't let Satan get you down. Don't let Satan discourage you. Go ahead, charge forward in the way the Lord would have you to go. And don't let that be something that would bring you down because of seeing the timely things that happen that may be something discouraging to you. You may say, oh, I wish it hadn't happened that way. Well, you can't control that. Your control is to do the things you do. You can't control anybody else. You've got this life that you're in charge of and doing the best you can with that life and producing the good works and the best things you can in this daily life from day to day that you might be showing forth many fruits because of what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for you. And the last verse I want to share with you is, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. He's able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. I suffer, but I'm not ashamed. He was beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead. Paul did some suffering. And the logical mind is, well, he was called on the road to Damascus to serve God, turn around 180 degrees. Why did he suffer? Why did he go through some pain and some agony? Well, one thing, he was told, my grace is sufficient. Paul says, I've got this suffering I'm doing, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, thorn in the flesh. Lord, take it away. Lord, no, I'm not going to take it away. You need that. You need that suffering to depend on me. If we never had any suffering, if everything was just a little Pollyanna thing we went through, and nothing bad ever happened to us, we might say, well, who needs the Lord? Who needs heaven? Everything is perfect here. We don't have any troubles. We don't have anything to complain about. It's just we're living in a little utopia right now. I hate to say it. I don't want to hear it. But we need suffering to bring us closer to the Lord. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the suffering that I'm going through. It helps me to depend upon the Lord. It helps me to say, I can't go on my own. I have to have the Lord with me. I have to have the Lord directing me, because I can't handle all of this by myself. I can't be in charge and run things. These things happen beyond my control. He says, I'm not ashamed. But he says, one thing. There's one thing here that kind of keeps me going, Paul said. I know in whom I have believed. He said, I know about Jesus Christ. He spoke to me. I talked to people who were there when he was crucified and when he was resurrected. I know him. I know whom I have believed. He's a friend of mine, Paul would say. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul was trying to encourage Timothy, but I think along the way he encouraged Apostle Paul. I think Apostle Paul, when he got through writing this, says, I feel better. I feel better about being in jail and these things that I'm going through, and I'm going to write this letter and send it to Timothy. But you know, I kind of cheered myself up too. He says, I know in whom I believe it, and I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's not being ashamed. That's being confident. That's having the assurance of the gospel. I think that's all the subjects of these seven verses here. Different subjects. Fear, being ashamed before the foundation of the world, being assured of what you've committed against the Lord, and he's going to keep that. I encourage you to get home and read Paul's letter to Timothy, the first letter, it's not very long, and then the second letter. And see, if you had been a young preacher and you got this letter directed to you directly, that it might encourage you. And yet it's written to all the people of God. It's written to all the Lord's people. It applied to one person specifically. But as far as an application overall, it's to all the people of God. Let me encourage you to read those two letters and then sit back and say, now, if I was Timothy, would I feel encouraged when I read this? And I hope it encouraged you to read that. May God bless you.